Here's another load for your news bong. Take a big old hit off of this. For any of you who might have been under the misconception that participation in social media had no effect on life beyond death, well, here's your proof. Again, headline. Vatican offers time off of purgatory to followers of Pope Francis tweets. Papal court handling pardons for sins says contrite Catholics may win indulgences by following World Youth Day on Twitter. So, for any of our Catholic listeners who are members of the Twitterverse, you might want to know about this. In its latest attempt to keep up with the times, the Vatican has married one of its oldest traditions to the world of social media by offering indulgences to followers of Pope Francis's tweets. The church's granted indulgences reduce the time Catholics believe they will have to spend in purgatory after they have confessed and been absolved of their sins. The remissions got a bad name in the Middle Ages because unscrupulous churchmen sold them for large sums of money. But now, indulgences are being applied to the 21st century. But a senior Vatican official warned web-surfing Catholics that indulgences still require a dose of old-fashioned faith, and that paradise was not just a few mouse clicks away. Quote, "You can't obtain indulgences like getting a coffee from a vending machine," Archbishop Claudia Maria Celi, head of the Pontifical Council for Social Communication, told the Italian Daily that this Swami can't correctly pronounce. Indulgences these days are granted to those who carry out certain tasks, such as climbing the sacred steps in Rome, reportedly brought from Pontius Pilate's house after Jesus sealed them before his crucifixion, a feat that earns believers 7 years off of purgatory. But attendance at events such as the Catholic World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, a week-long event beginning 22 July, can also win an indulgence. Mindful of the faithful who cannot afford to fly to Brazil, the Vatican's Sacred Apostolic Penitentiary, a court which handles the forgiveness of sins, has also extended the privilege to those following the, quote, rites and pious exercises, end quote, of the event on television, radio, and through social media. Quote, "That includes following Twitter," end quote, said a source at the penitentiary, referring to Pope Francis's Twitter account, which has gathered 7 million followers. Quote, "But you must be following the events live. It is not as if you can get an indulgence by chatting on the internet," end quote. In its decree, the penitentiary said that getting an indulgence would hinge on the beneficiary having previously confessed and being, quote, "truly penitent and contrite," end quote. Praying while following events in Rio online would need to be carried out with requisite devotion, it suggested. Apart from the papal Twitter account, the Vatican has launched an online news portal supported by an app, a Facebook page, and it plans to use the online social networking site Pinterest. Quote, what really counts is that the tweets the Pope sends from Brazil or the photos of Catholic World Youth Day that go up on Pinterest produce authentic spiritual fruit in the hearts of everyone, said Archbishop Celi. The end. Oh. And there was a response from Pope John Paul II, which went like this. Bullshit! The end.
So, I am on Twitter at the moment with, and it seems that the Pope has not only one official account, he has nine.
Well, of course!
And so they're in different languages, so that's why there's...
Okay.
Right. But I think the Spanish one, at Pontifex S, is the one with the most, with nearly 12 million followers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are either of you residents in the Twitterverse? Sonic, obviously. Just, okay, this Swami isn't either. That's far too confusing for me.
Yeah, you can find me at Sonicavia, or just put Sonic in and you'll find me. I'm not doing as quite as well as Popey on my followers.
Well, of course.
But I don't really. It's mostly just my pictures that I put up there. If anybody wants to,
which are very, very cool, by the way. The few that this Swami has seen were enormously creative and interesting. So that was neat.
Yeah, well done on my phone as well. It's amazing.
Right.
So which? Which of the nine official Popey tweets does one follow to get off purgatory, or is it all nine?
Well, obviously all of them. And you want to hedge your bets at every opportunity, so you wouldn't leave one behind, even if you can't speak it or read it, would you?
And
all you need is Google Translate.
All of those Pope accounts... I'm thinking that there that is quite what's the guy that looked at himself at the mirror? Narcissist. He seems to be quite narcissistic. He seems to be quite narcissistic because the only other people that he follows are himself in other accounts.
So are you serious?
No. Each account has got eight. It is following eight other accounts, and they're all just the other versions of different languages of him.
I'd actually heard this a while ago, even before this. Yeah, the Pope. The only person the Pope follows is himself. I've actually heard this before.
Well, I mean, he is in a pretty rare position, you know, so who else is he going to pay attention to? Jesus doesn't have a Twitter account.
No, he could follow the Dalai Lama.
Why?
Well, just like God bods together.
Well, sure, it's possible, but unlikely.
See what the other people are doing? See what the other religions are
doing? Yeah, he's not even following Benedict.
No.
Pope who quit, you know, like, hey, what's he up to? Oh, still hiding out in this Vatican apartment because I can't leave because I'll be arrested. Oh, okay, great. Nice to hear from you.
His Twitter feed must be just really boring. He's just whatever he's written.
Yeah. Now, one aspect of this is, okay, so you can just follow the Pope's Twitter feed and be absolved of whatever sins. It's not like the Pope has to go on and bless each and every single person separately?
No, I think by following him, you're sort of going, you're done. So.
Well, what this Swami found odd in that article was that there's a court that's dispensing decisions about purgatory. So, like, there has to be, like, a purgatory defense attorney and a purgatory...
I remember watching a film a bit... I remember watching a film recently where there was that sort of office within the Vatican. I can't recall what film, but it was definitely along the same sort of lines. I think it was the something to do with the office to like dish out sainthoods.
Yeah.
I can't remember what film. Well, it'll come to me at some point. Or if anybody wants to just Google films around that subject and find out, go for it. Well done, Popey, for getting lots of his already billions of people around the world to now follow him on. Will he have an Instagram? Is that what's next for Pope? Load of selfies.
Maybe some Snapchat.
Oh, yeah, that'll be awesome. Just Pope selfies all day, all night.
Just in my crib.
Just like Kim Kardashian. Works for her.
Yeah.
I have a bit of, you may remember, Sonic, as we were going into the summer break, this Swami went to you, being the expert on this lifestyle to which this refers, and asking, what does LGBTQ mean? To which you very honestly said, what?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, is it like questioning?
Here we go.
Oh, you've got an answer.
Oh, went and did research. That's what this Swami does. Is, you know, when it's dark and the power's off. okay, now, if we're going to be completely correct, it is. Follow along here, because this might get confusing. Because this is kind of turning into an algebra problem. LGBTQIA squared.
Say what?
Yeah.
I just did. LGBTQIA squared. Here we go. L, lesbian. A female identified person who is attracted romantically, physically, or emotionally to another female identified person. Notice there was no mention of biology there. Gay. A person, mainly a male identified person, who is attracted romantically, physically, or emotionally to another person of the same sex. B, bisexual. A person who is attracted romantically, physically, or emotionally to both men and women. T, transgender. A person who is a member of a gender other than that expected based on anatomical sex. Q. Queer. An umbrella term which embraces a variety of sexual preferences, orientations, and habits of those who do not adhere to the heterosexual and cisgender majority. The term queer includes, but is not exclusive to lesbians, gay men, bisexuals, trans people, and intersex persons. Traditionally, this term is derogatory and hurtful. However, many people who do not adhere to sexual and or gender norms use it to self-identify in a positive way. I, intersex, someone whose physical sex characteristics are not categorized as exclusively male or exclusively female. Now we get to the A squared. First A, asexual, a person who does not have a sexual orientation, a person that does not experience a sexual attraction, but can experience a romantic, emotional, or aesthetic attraction to another person. And the final A, in our LGBT, LGBTQTIA squared. Please forgive the Swami for his insensitivity. Final A, ally. A person who does not identify as LGBTQIA, but supports the rights and safety of those who do. The end.
Well, wow.
The Q could really take out pretty much all of that.
That's kind of what it used to be used for. Yeah.
Back in the 70s. I got to say, it's a little funny. Earlier, I just kind of made that weird reference to Miley Cyrus and recently coming out as a quote-unquote pansexual. Pansexual seems to cover all those bases. pansexual.
A P in there.
You know?
Yeah. Don't know why. But it's becoming an algebra problem, isn't it? I mean,
It is.
Pretty soon we'll have square and triangle. You know, I mean, what? Trisexual? I'll try anything. Okay, great.
Honestly, when you were describing the ally part, you know, the last A square part, it totally made me think of Margaret Cho and how, you know, she's been a very, you know, proponent of the lesbian and gay community. And she comes out and calls herself a fag hag.
Right.
You know, it kind of seems like one of those aspects.
Yeah.
By a gay man in Hollywood, this Swami heard that the midget woman that was in the Poltergeist movie, was a fag hag and lived in an apartment full of gay men, an apartment building that was mainly populated by gay men. But that was the term. First time I'd ever heard that particular fag hag. What?
Yeah.
Clear.
They're just trying to incorporate everybody into that moniker, aren't they? And you know, all of those different groups of people are they're completely different to each other.
You know, honestly, as you were reading through the thing. As you were reading through the thing, I'm like, I'm surprised there's not an S. Just throw in straight people. Just make it every freaking thing. You know?
Oh, no. Because they're the opposite.
No.
They're not part of the group.
Yeah, well, of course, you need, it needs to
you know,
be
divisive.
You
know, if there's a group getting together to celebrate diversity, white, straight people most certainly cannot attend.
No.
They must be multicultural. They must be minority. They must be some other identifier. But what this Swami also noticed in that was each and every description began with a person.
Yeah.
Could we stick with that maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, just be yourself and don't get caught up in fucking, it's not necessarily all bollocks because there is some sort of community in that massive group of people that I suppose around the world have maybe not been embraced as they should be as a human being, like say Swami.
Right, a person.
Yeah.
Every single one of them was a person.
But now that pretty much, it's not out of the ordinary to should describe it a different way. The discrimination aspect is diminishing. Well, particularly over here, I wouldn't. But maybe it's more of a thing in America where. People can get married and things like that. So, it is socially acceptable nowadays.
It's been normalized.
Yeah.
How about we just respect people's free will choice to make the decisions in their own life?
Yeah.
So that would be much shorter to say.
So really, because of that social integration, the groups of people, but more the societies, the money making aspects, the charities and the blood, that corral all these people into the various pigeonholes. We don't really need that anymore, I don't think. But yeah, we just need people to.
But it does also represent for the societal manipulators a whole bunch of categories to split people apart. Agenda where the gay men have to hate the lesbians and the lesbians have to hate the allies for some reason. Boom, 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 boom. Just like the truther community or we who live on the earth, be it round or flat. Okay, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, labeling people like that generally tends to divide rather than unify.
Right.
You know?
That's why Baskin-Robbins has 31 different flavors, each in their own separate little tub. They don't mix it into one big pile and go, ooh, ice cream. Well, it is just ice cream at the bottom of it, but it's all the bells and whistles and differences that make their store worth going to.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's would have got nowhere with just vanilla. This Swami has one more story if you wish to roll with it, unless one of y'all has something fresh.
No, we might have another thing or two, but yeah, if we get a bong roll.
Okay, for anyone unfamiliar, the Philippines has elected a new president.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's crazy.
In his election, he promised the people of the Philippines that he would kill the drug dealers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was going, talking to the drug dealers through the TV, if you don't kill me, I'm going to kill you. I mean, the sort of rhetoric that made Donald Trump go, damn.
Yeah, there's a Filipino guy at work that I work with, and he was saying that he previous to this, he was a mayor of one particular part of the Philippines. And that was the safest part of the Philippines because he'd killed all the bad guys. Literally.
Well, he's not slowing down.
Literally killed
Here's
all
the headline.
Them.
Yes, yes, yes. Headline, Philippines Duterte, that's his name, follows through on drug war promises. 30 drug dealers have been killed since Rodrigo Duterte was sworn in as Philippine president on Thursday, police said, announcing the seizure of nearly $20 million worth of narcotics, but sparking anger from a lawyers group. Duterte won the election in May on a platform of crushing crime. But his incendiary rhetoric and advocacy of extrajudicial killings have alarmed many who hear echoes of the country's authoritarian past. He has been nicknamed the Punisher. Oscar Albayalde, police chief for the Manila region, said 5 drug dealers were killed Sunday in a gun battle with police in a shanty town near a mosque not far from the presidential palace. Quote, my men were about to serve arrest warrants when shots rang out from one of the houses in the area, Albayalde told reporters, saying officers returned fire and killed 5 men. 4 guns and 200 grams of crystal methamphetamine were recovered. 3 other drug dealers were killed in other areas in Manila on Sunday, and 22 were killed in 4 areas outside the capital. More than 100 people have died, mostly suspected drug dealers, rapists, and car thieves, in stepped-up anti-crime police operations since the election on May 9th. Edre Olalia, Secretary General of the National Union of People's Lawyers, said the killings must be halted. Quote, the drug menace must stop. Yet, the apparent serial summary executions of alleged street drug users or petty drug lords, which appear sudden, too contrived, and predictable, must also stop. The two are not incompatible. In the north of the main island of Luzon, drug enforcement agents and police seized a shipment of 400 pounds of methamphetamine worth about 900 million pesos. That's $19.23 million. From either China or Taiwan. National Police Chief Ronald De La Rosa said. The shipment was unloaded at sea and brought to shore by small fishing boats before delivery to Manila's Chinatown, he said. Duterte tapped into voters' disgust with the Philippines' political elite and the failure of successive governments to tackle poverty and inequality, drawing comparisons with Donald Trump and the rise of assertive populists across the globe. In his maiden speech last week, the president conceded that many believe his methods, quote, are unorthodox and verge on the illegal, end quote. However, the 71-year-old former prosecutor said he knew right from wrong and would abide by the rule of law. Duterte was mayor for 22 years of the southern city of Davao, where, according to human rights groups, death squads have killed at least 1,400 people since 1998, most of them drug pushers, addicts, petty criminals, and street children. He denies any involvement in vigilante killings. The end. Right, right. He ain't hiding it. He ain't, he's like, if, and I mean, this was the election time race statement he made. If you don't kill me, I will kill you. Holy cow. And see, for anyone who's not been to the Philippines, don't know somebody from there, whatever, this Swami once upon a time knew a whole bunch of GIs, American Air Force personnel, who were assigned at Subic Bay. And it was just very, very normal for, you know, these homeboy GIs to go to the Philippines and come back with a brand new wife. And they would also tell you very clearly, oh, there's parts of the Philippines you just don't go to because you'll get macheted. That's just all there is to it. You don't, it's no debate. It's just you're told when you get there, oh, don't go here. Don't go there. You'll get hacked with a machete. Oh, okay. Now, we got this very same sort of briefing when this Swami arrived at the base RAF Alconbury in England, but the only thing, you know, they were saving us from cricket bats upside the head. So no one was getting hacked, but you would get whacked if you went into the wrong place with your American money and your car trying to pull the birds from the dole locals. They didn't take that very kindly.
Well, your dollars won't get very far unless you went to a post office to change it.
Right, right. But you had more of them.
Yeah.
You know, because you're getting paid by the U.S. military. You're not living off the dole of the English system. So you have more to spend on the birds. More drinks to buy, cooler clothes, you know, whatever. Jewelry, cars, you know, whatever it is you feel like spending your cash on. You've got more of it to spend than any of the normal locals do.
It might be getting like that again now. As the pound has dropped considerably.
31-year low after the Brexit vote.
Yeah.
You know, Nick, here's one thing I kind of wanted to ask, though. With this, the Brexit thing, is this just like temporary jitters on people? You know, like people are kind of freaking out right now, but eventually it'll smooth out? Or, I mean, is this really something that's going to really plunge the European economy into, you know?
It could go both ways, really. I mean, what the EU is saying to Britain now is that you should get this out of the way with as quick as possible. But if you still want access to the single market of Europe, then you're still going to have free movement of people. So I think it's a bit of a misnomer, unless we just like say that's it, we don't want to be part of the single market or anything, then it's just going to be pretty much the same as it was, I would imagine, because but it's not like we're getting out of the euro because we've never been in it. And, the sort of talk of like Norway and Switzerland. Switzerland's a different case, really, to Norway. You can still travel to Norway. You drive there and you wouldn't be stopped at passport. The only place that you actually do get stopped for passports is coming into Britain.
because
everything else is connected. You can drive everywhere. The situation is that pretty much England have voted out, yet Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland pretty much voted to remain. So there's the potential breakup of the actual United Kingdom.
It's strange. You describe it like that, it kind of makes me think there's Minnesota where I live, and I think there's three other states that this may have changed in the recent past, but there were a few states that still haven't taken on to the real ID. Minnesota is one of those, and if, say, I wanted to catch a flight and go to Wisconsin, which is just like the state next door, technically, because Minnesota hasn't taken on to the real ID act, I would need a passport to fly to Wisconsin. I wouldn't even be allowed to get on a plane without a passport, being from Minnesota, since we don't have the real ID. If I was in, one of these other states that had the real ID, you'd just have your ID, buy a ticket, and you'd fly to whatever state. But you can't even go state to state on an airplane without a passport if you live in one of the few states that hasn't taken on to the Real ID Act. So you talking about, leaving the European Union and the travel aspect of it kind of makes me think of that.
Also, they have to reissue all the British passports as well, because on them they say European Union. So, you know, unless they're just going to use let everybody use the passports until they renew them, which would sort of, I don't know, if they're not actually in Europe, then they would be not valid. I don't know. But I mean, that could be, unless they're going to actually reissue them without people having to pay for them. You know, mine's not due to be renewed until like 2023. That's like freaking 8 years or something.
Yeah. Right.
But there's more prevalence of people having passports over here than in the States, because more people travel outside of Europe over here. Yeah, I think the majority of the population would have a passport. I don't think I've ever met anybody that hasn't got a passport. But that's because we need to get a passport to get out of this country, regardless of like traveling around Europe. Even though we did go on holiday once, and Howard realised as we were about to go up through the tunnel that his passport was 6 months out of date.
But, <Uh-oh>.
but nobody batted an eyelid. So as long as it looked, you know, like him.
Like you say, though, I mean, you know, Europe, it's not quite as big as America. I mean, America, I've gone, I'm 32 years old. I've never needed a passport to transfer, you know, go state to state, whatever. I can still drive state to state, but if I ever wanted to get on a plane at this point and fly to another state, I'd need a passport, which you would, back in the day, that would only have been needed for international flights. Now you even need that to just fly, you know, nationally. Yeah, and you know, Europe, you talk about just leaving
the
island.
And that's over $100 to get. And it's over $100 to get.
And they're all,
I mean, that's a significant expenditure for a lot of people.
And they're all chipped up now. Like when when we came back the other week, we just went into this machine. It just with the camera, don't even need to speak to anybody. You just put your passport in and it just checks you out and just lets you walk through.
So no stamping or any of that?
No. And that was the same when we went to Australia. I thought that it'd be like really, the immigration would be like America, where you know, even if you've got all the correct paperwork, they fucking hassle you immigration. There.
Oh, well, not at the southern border anymore. No, seriously. The Border Patrol has had to stand down. They're busing people in, and then they're putting them on buses in South Texas and Arizona that will carry them undocumented further into the country, where they are given, you know, food vouchers and also, I mean, they're just being, that's just the real honest situation of what's going on. You know, the Canadians aren't streaming in, but across the southern border, hell, anybody can get in here now. Well, all kinds of children by themselves and also, I mean, it's a mess.
Well, Mexico City has got a bigger population than the whole of Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, don't try to get into Mexico illegally. You will go to prison. This Swami had a student who came from Central America, did not, was on his way up here to see the Swami and told him, no, don't do that. But he did, and ended up doing time in Mexico for illegal entry.
Crazy.
And then went back home and complained. And this Swami said, told you not to do that.
Oh, well.
So Risa, have you never thought of, like, driving up to Canada? I mean, surely it's not that far.
It's not that far. I've been there before. I mean, I was a young guy. You know, I mean, Dad was driving the car. I didn't need a passport to even go into Canada. You know, we go up there for a day trip. I think we were staying in Duluth, Minnesota, which is maybe 100 miles from the Canadian border. We'd stay in Duluth and go up to Canada, you know, just on a day trip. And you didn't need it. I was young enough where I didn't need a passport. But at this point, no, I think if I had even been that young this day and age, you probably need a passport to cross the border.
Yeah.
It's gotten a little screwy, like I said. And Minnesota being one of the states that hasn't signed on to the Real ID Act, I'm assuming that probably anyone crossing the border probably needs one of these, you know, a passport, since they've not done the Real ID thing.
I remember a while ago, there was a documentary, and it had a part. Is Vermont on the border of Canada on the other side there?
Vermont? Yeah, yeah. It's over East Coast somewhere. Yeah.
But is that on the border? Because there was like basically a border town, and like half the town was in Canada and half the town was in America, and maybe pre 9/11, you know, people would just be like, you know, walking in between the two quite freely, and then now, like, the border control, you know, not necessarily border control, but the cops are on either side like monitor this like road. Bizarre. I mean, there's a place in, it's in Holland. There's like a little town, and because of the after the war, the sort of redefining of the lines, these parts of the town so the whole thing is in Holland, but there's parts of the town that are in Belgium, and then, so you'd get, we've been there as well. So you've got this cafe, and like some of the tables, half of it is in Belgium and half of it's in Holland. And you get like pockets so the whole thing's in Holland. You get bits of it in Belgium. You get bits of that that's inside Belgium in Holland in Belgium. So it's like a Russian doll town. It's bizarre.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, and yeah, Vermont. Yeah, it is one of those states that the northern part of it is one of the it borders Canada, so I wouldn't doubt that what you're saying there is true. But also Minnesota. I don't know if you remember the top of Minnesota, but it kind of has this notch that goes up into Canada, called the Lake of the Woods. That area has been greatly contested, and Canada kind of just wants to make it part of Canada. But somehow it's been able to remain part of Minnesota. So, yeah, I can kind of understand what you're saying about, you know, areas that...
Well, because the Canadians are too mellow to fight about it.
Well, there's that,
too. They're too polite. Would you kindly give us our land? No? Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, right, I see. So there's a lake there, isn't there? There's like...
there's a lot of lakes there.
No, but there's like a little notch... I'm seeing sort of near the border with North Dakota. There's like a little notch with a lake, and then part of that you'd have to drive through Canada to get to a bit of America. Yeah, bizarre. that's quite remote.
Like I said, it's a strange area. Up there, it's kind of part of the boundary waters. Went up there with when I was in Boy Scouts a long, long time ago. We went on a canoeing trip, And we actually, you show up at like Ely, Minnesota, which is probably about 100, 150 miles from the border. You go into the basically just huge wooded area. It's, you know, the boundary waters. There's just lakes upon lakes upon lakes. And really you're just like, you go in and you portage from, portage is what it's called when you pick up your canoe and you carry it to the next lake. Mm. You do that, and you can go so far.
Well, that's after you pass the uniformed Canadian beavers.
Okay, we never met them. We never met them, but I will say that we went as far as we could. We actually canoed, you know, and portaged as far as we could. We went over into Canadian territory, spent about an hour, hour and a half there. We had lunch, and then we went back. So you can actually cross over. Like I said, we were just Boy Scouts. You can actually portage your way and move through the lakes and do that kind of stuff and move across the border without any kind of detection. But to do, you know, in other aspects, I don't know how easy it would be.
So, yeah, looking at a map now, it is just lakes and lakes and lakes and lakes, isn't it?
This is why they call Minnesota
the 10,000 lakes?
Lakes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's actually more than 10,000 lakes, but you know, we tend to reduce, you know, just it's easy enough, 10,000. It's a nice round number.
Yeah, it fits on the license plate, Prince.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, we're coming up to the...
It said 10,864. That would be confusing. So.
We're coming up to the end of the show. Have you got any tune requests? I can see quickly here if it's on. Unless I can...
Reset, make a pick.
I've got one here. It's quite a good tune.
Okay.
Let's put it in here.
We're easy to get along with.
Right, well,
you know.
We will see you next week, folks. And hopefully we will be joined by Steve and Fi. And this is a tune called Get Up by the Young Fathers. So see you next week, folks. Take care.
Namaste, all.
Take care.
Come in. Fumbling through the ether, take a ride in Aquila. Cost you 30 liras, push your dealer, hits the meter. A shrewd operator in the shadow of a beacon. Have a dirty weekend, interesting proposition. Insinuate and listen. Listen, listen. What a way to make a living. Scissors, scissors to the ribbon. Throw my hands like a reverend. Triple sixes, double sevens. When I get down to this, cut catalyst, cut. For a revolution.
people on the bunk bed. You better watch the babies. Careful with your manners. Only drinking water on the Coca-Cola banner. Well-built family, subject to the battery. The battery. Mental men are manic in their manacles. I meant to make a metaphor for radicals. Taking off my clothes at the Lido. All I got is my decadent credo.
To a gang and get sold to a pack of losers down to Napalusha. I heard you got guns, well I got fun. I got something sweet, what you call sin. So you lose, I win. I saw something, I was today. I want you to and he turned and rolled away.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up.